Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Life Success Radio. From the womb to the tomb, we hear your voices. Let's get serious and have a real conversation. Life Success Radio is creating our future paradise to move our youth out of the pastime paradigm of slavery in America. Today is November 29th, on Wednesday, 2017. I, your host and moderator, Helene the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. Now, we do have a guest that's that will be online today with us, Imam Victor Shakir. However, before we begin, I'd like to open in prayer, and please feel free to join me in silence if you or aloud if you wish. I'll say it in Arabic and English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Nir-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim Siratal Ladzina An'amta Alayhim غير المحدود عليهم ولا دولين آمين. The English interpretation from the Quranic verse I recited from the book Quran and the first chapter of Fatiha, in English it says this: We seek refuge with Allah from the cursed devil Satan. With the name Allah, God, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, God, cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds. Most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thy aid and guidance we seek. Show us a straight way, the way of those on whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath and who go not astray in their service to you. Amen. Let it be so. Again, my name is Helene Dream. Oh, welcome. Alhamdulillah. Brother, praise God. Alhamdulillah. So, Brother Vickers, just hold on for a moment and let me go through this little introduction piece here, and we'll make it formal here a bit, okay?
Very good. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. So we say our sponsor for Life Success Radio is Reality Books, publisher of the American classic Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. This book certainly is authored by a family member very close to the senior great-grandson who authored this book, and his name is Professor, I call him the Professor, Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui. And so the book is actually a roadmap to progress from the past of the days that we were like black people were in a enslaved mindset coming out of that episode. And today we actually, that book has a roadmap as to what things would be appropriate for today's climate to step out of sight of this conditions of slavery mentality and behavior. Okay, now today, actually, the Wednesday show, we actually have it under the caption of Blessed to Be Blessed. Now, we do have on our format Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays a certain topic that we're going to use for the next quarter just to give a lot of different variations of the things that will be discussed under those particulars. Now, just to give you a little backdrop, Monday we have the show called Senior Moments, and the topic there was family, is it bloodline or a conscious mind? Tuesday, our focus is on the young people, and we call that EZ generation, like E and then Z generation. And the topic is peer-to-peer leadership. Is it discipline, compliance to present status, or is it forward-thinking, action, and spiritual ideals? Now, today's show, under Wednesday's caption of Blessed to Be Blessed, is under the topic of solutions to psychological tendency and mental control of today's slave masters who use social media and religion to control our lives. Now, the thing is that we as a people have to and begin communicating, because our young people are really being affected by a lack of information that gives them direction. And until we all start really putting it on the line, we are going to continue to be left behind. So today I have a very, very knowledgeable Imam, Victor Shakir, and he's calling out of Oakland, California. And you would just chime on, sir. I want to kind of introduce you in, and so you can put your phone on open line, just be able to talk here. I'm going to say a couple things about you and then just give you the floor to say what you have in your heart about subject matter and about the things that you know that need to happen in terms of for our people, especially our young people. So,
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Wa alaikum assalam. So, matter of fact, I don't even need to go through any introduction, you brother. Would you please introduce yourself and just take the show, and I'm going to be on mute listening to you, okay?
Oh, okay. And whatever I may miss something or you want me to talk on something or elaborate, then please, I'll just start off.
Assalamu alaikum.
My name is Victor Shakir, and I'm speaking from my knowledge base. I've traveled around the world, Africa, Asia, the Middle East, spent weeks in Yemen, Sudan. I've been to China, Japan, Cuba. So I'm speaking about us from the outside in. So I've studied and I had a lot of questions as we are listening now to get answers. So I traveled the world to try to get some answers. And when this topic came up for today, Blessed to Be Blessed and solutions, etc., I said it is great because all of us, especially those that can hear me, we are blessed. And it's a blessing to be blessed because we could be cursed. And why are we blessed? We're blessed because we're still alive. And as long as we're alive, we have another opportunity. So we should understand that we're living in a good time, especially for the African American. This is the time that our forefathers prayed for when they were lynching us and tarring, feathering us. And just in slavery, we prayed for this day, and our leaders prayed for the day where we would be recognized not by the color of our skin, but by by what we know and by our actions and our character. And there are lots of solutions, you know, and also, Halim, you stop me if I go too far. But one of the things when I saw the topic, I thought of natural laws that are in creation that help us to move forward and to depend on none but the Creator. And one of the laws in the creation, we know about gravity, which is one of the laws in creation. It helps the food grow it. But we know all the things gravity can do. And these laws never go to sleep. They're always present if we know them or we don't know them. So I could put you on a 10-story building, put a sack of $1 million bills 15 foot out on a pole and tell you to wait until gravity goes to sleep and jump out there and grab the bag of money and it's yours. It's not going to go to sleep. So the laws don't go to sleep. And when I saw this solutions to psychological dependence and mental control of today's slave master, you know, who used the social media and religion, then I said there's so many ways that I see this happening. One is the law that we said, that, one of the laws in creation I mentioned past, I'll mention now, and that is the law of past, present, and future. All of us, mortal creatures, especially the young people, mortal beings, mortal man, not gender man, but man meaning mind or mentality, mortal meaning flesh, that we will die, then we are here on this earth. And we share this earth, this life, with other life forms. There's other animal life forms, there's plant life forms, there's mineral life forms, all of these forms of life. So we're not the gods, the all and be all, and everything that we needed for our growth and development was already here when we arrived on this earth. But when we look at past, present, and future, and this is coming to relieve the dependency from those that have been under this, none of us can live outside of that law. And that's for those of us that think we're free because we move around and we think we're not free. We're still locked in on this earth with these laws, and the young people and the old people should know these laws so that they can progress. And the past, present, and future, none of us can live outside of that. Think about it. The past, present, or future, you can't. So now trees and plants are held on the ground by roots. Roots in the ground that hold them. But mankind, the human family, and when I say man, I'm talking about mind, because we all have a mind, and there's nothing that we do physically. Some of us identify ourselves by our physicalness, but we are really mental creatures. We enjoy this earth physically, but we're mental creatures. There's nothing you do physically without first getting a mental command. So because we can move around, we think we're free, but we're not. And when we understand this, then we can look at the laws that help to guide us and make us move forward. But you can't live outside of that. Okay, now look at it. The past you can do nothing about. Doesn't mean it's no good. You can learn from it, but there's nothing you can do about the past. It's gone. The present is so fleeting, you can never really grab it. And the future, I think we agree, if we knew the future, we would know who's going to win the Super Bowl, who's going to win the football game, who's going to win every match, the new technology that's coming out. We would avoid all harm and pain. So we don't know the future. It's not in our hands. So look at it. The past you can do nothing about. The present is so fleeting you can never really grab it. And those of you who want to live for now, get the gusto, because you don't know what people are talking about in the future. You don't know if there's going to be a future and all of that stuff, so you're going to live for now. If you know people that's trying to live for now, those are people who usually talk about the past, because the present is so fleeting you can never really grab it. So how do you live life? And this helps right here, breaking dependencies. You live life by learning from the past with a vision to the future, and the present will take care of itself. Some people learn from the past, but for whatever reason, beat down or whatever the reason, they have no vision to the future, so they're going to get their gusto now. You don't quite make it. And then there are those that have a vision to the future, but they're not learning anything from the past. They bring the same negative people, the same negative ideas, et cetera, et cetera. So they don't learn it. So the way to live is to learn from your past with a vision to the future. And the present takes care of itself. Now, the slave didn't know much. There was laws in America where you couldn't even read. But there were those that knew this law that's in creation. So what was used to stop the African-American, the descendants of slaves, from getting ahead was they reversed that law. We're the ones that have been hurt the most by the reversal of that law, learning from our past with a vision to the future. The African-American, part and parcel, most of all, the only people that have been taught to forget their past. Oh, it's too painful. That wasn't me. I wasn't back there. We got all these reasons to forget the past. So look, in creation, the laws that move us forward tell us we must learn from our past and always have a vision to the future. You look at great people. We don't tell Japan to forget that the bomb was dropped on them. We don't tell our Jewish brothers and sisters, may God have mercy on all of their souls, to forget about what happened to them. No, we don't tell anybody to forget, but we tell the African American. Then, because of slavery, Jim Crow, peonage, overt, covert oppression, their future has been beat down. You get something, they take it. You build something, they burn it. You try to get ahead, they knock you backwards. So they've damaged our vision to the future. So this is one reason why we can't get ahead, because we're not learning from the past and we have no vision to the future. So once we do this, we break away from this and look at the past and look at it to study, not to give us as entertainment, but look at it to study and look at the past. Then one of the things we find is that this is one law that we have to get back. We have to find a way to study the past and create a unified vision to our future. So when we look at the past, we see that slavery cut us off, the descendants of slaves, it cut us off from the natural social progression. In creation, there's a natural progression of society. And we were cut off from that during those hundreds of years of slavery. We had no
We may have had a technical blip. It seems as though his voice kind of stopped abruptly. So I'm going to anticipate he'll be calling back in. So I'm going to just kind of talk a bit here as to what I'm hearing. It's a very, very powerful message in terms of the ideas of the past being erased from the memory of the practice of blacks here in America, just from slavery experience. That's a really alarming. And I'm hearing them very clearly on this one. Everyone else has their freedom expressions, and they have their historical things that certainly represents their ethnic groups. But unfortunately, blacks don't have that as much as we need. So hold on.
Call back in. You disconnect. Call again.
Yeah, call again. Your phone disconnected. Okay, so in any event, I did make contact with him, so he's calling back in right now, and I'll just continue, and he gets online here. But this is really profound insight that he's sharing, and there's a lot of times we have to, recognize the truth when it's being said, because it's very subtle, but for those thinkers, it becomes very obvious that there's something that we haven't done collectively enough. Because when we have our young people today, are you back, sir? Mr. Victor Kier, are you back, brother? Okay, as I was saying, our young people today are really, victimized by a lot of things that we have to start defending them in ways with not physical defense, but with active political activity. Proactive things that's going to change our environment. So, any of that, I'm going to hold on.
Okay, well, let me try to get through and let you know. Just stay on the host. I'll hang up.
I'm going to say that I've just talked, he actually can hear, but the phone is not allowing him to transmit. That might be from our side a technical glitch, and only way I know how I can assist this is contact our sponsor right now, which I'm making an effort right now to do so, and see if there's something that can happen to change this. Now, in the event, I'm talking to my guest, Imam Victor Secure, in the event that we're unable to do so.
What I'm going to do, I'm gonna shut it off, and then we're going to set it again because it's not working out. So why don't you just hang up, and I'll go through the process, all right? Well, I'm going to call you back. Don't worry. We're going to cancel the day out because it's not working like that. We're going to cancel it out basically, okay?
Yes. I just got a call here, and definitely there is a technical glitch, and it's somehow triggered. Where there's no ability for him to transmit his voice, but his hearing is receiving everything that I'm talking about and what's going on here. So we're going to actually cancel this show out here, and I will schedule him another time at his convenience.
Okay, look this is your engineer. He's actually back on now.
Okay, actually.
Oh, how did you tell?
Okay, go ahead on the,
can you
back
hear
on
me?
The, I'm going to put you loud and clear, loud and clear. Go ahead. You continue talking. I'm going to put you on mute. Continue talking, sir.
Okay, all right. And I do apologize for that. That was my fault. I think we
Everything happened for a reason, so go ahead, brother. God bless you. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we were saying that because of that, slavery cut us off from the natural progression. And what I mean by that is just imagine us back in the wilderness, it's one of us, we're hunting. Then when it's nighttime, you know, we have to make sure we're protected, or we may sleep in the day so we can be alert at night. And then when we meet another human person, then there's a bond there. Now at least one can sleep and the other one stay awake. And then you meet somebody else, another family. Now someone can watch your belongings while you go hunt. But just naturally it brings us together. And then we learn social skills, and then we create laws, you know, so we can grow together, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the ex-slave was cut off from that. And when you're cut off from that for hundreds of years, then you have the slave consciousness. And this slave consciousness, and then especially with the work of Willie Lynch coming in to keep us in a situation to where we are dependent, we just say dependent on our master. You know, the master will do this for us. You know, the master will make everything all right. So we didn't have anything to do but count on the master. So it stopped us from doing things for self. And really, you know, just real heavy, I give it lightly, we find that psychology even today where we're still as a community of people look for others to do for us. Example, if our Mexican brothers and sisters move in the neighborhood, you don't have to go inside their doors to know who lives in the neighborhood. You're going to see a store coming up and another Mexican store and a tortilla place. The Asians move in the neighborhood. You don't have to go inside the house to see, because once they move in, you're going to see the supermarket, you see the bank, you see the things that are necessary for society. But when we go in our neighborhood, other people are making money. We don't have that, and it's not really our fault. It was burned out of us during the time of slavery, and I have only read one study of the psychological effects of slavery. So I'm not putting anybody down. You see, you don't hear no anger or anything in the voice. It's just learning so we can relieve that dependency. And these are the things that were clocked in us so that we were more dependent of, you know, waiting on somebody else. And then I'm going to go on the limb here and digress. But I really see it when Barack Obama was president. And it touches me, and I'll just say this on it. But for 8 years, we had an African-American president, and the African-Americans didn't ask him for one thing as a group. Not one thing. They could have at least asked him to remove the fact that the African American is 3/5 of a person in the Constitution. That's something that touches us all, but we didn't. So, I mean, to me, it just shows that we have been put back and we've been put back. So what happens to happen? We have to study the past. And this is one of the things we learned, taken away from the social development. So we have to look at it not as entertainment, because entertainment, we don't know if it's cynicalism in there, at all, because they show us our history to where it hurts. what the bad things that happened to us, et cetera, et cetera. So then I wonder, are they showing that for us to learn? We have to look at something to learn. Or are they really showing that to us to let us know where we came from so we don't get ahead of ourselves and we stay in our place, as our president is suggesting? So how do we do this? We have to see ourselves as a life force, a group on the earth, sharing this earth with other animals and other plants and all. And just like in our cities and our towns, they have laws. You got local laws. You know, some allow pot, some don't. These are our local laws. Then we have state laws. Then we have federal law. And these laws are for all of us because we all are here together sharing this earth in peace. Well, we are also on this earth. And the Creator has placed us on this earth, and there are laws that are in creation that help us to get along and all. I mentioned gravity. If you were to suspend gravity and remove the atmospheric layer from the earth, we would be shooting off the earth like slingshots. So we are held here. And the one that put us here put everything that we needed, and we need to begin to look at life as more than just these local laws and what we see here, but know that there's a higher purpose for the human animal as opposed to all of the other animals. So once we see this and take our role, then we can release the dependency and find out those things that stop us from doing these things. And really for all of us, young, old, whatever you may be, we have to find a way to love each other more and care about each other more as family and see each other as family members, because we are part of the one family, the human family. So this is a blessed time. We're blessed to be here because the Creator is the one that is in charge today. And I don't know how much more you want me to say or get back on topic if I have digressed.
Well, let me say, first of all, you are on top 100 million percent, sir. So let's continue going because you have inspiration coming. So I'm listening, sir.
Okay. Now, in understanding that the African American, the dependents of their slaves, has been put in a situation that we must look at our situation to work to correct it, because no one else that I see is going to correct our situation. One of the things that I feel will help us as a people, since we feel dejected, well, one of the things that hurt, a major cause preventing us from establishing ourselves as communities, as other people. I'm not saying to do anything that other people haven't done. See, I believe America is in the shape that it's in because the African-American has to lift up their part. Everyone has a part to play, and I think that we're lagging on our part in the way of living and guiding because of what we have gone through. And one of the things is the damaged sense of belonging that we've had in America. Some would tell you, you know, we're not citizens, you know, because, you know, look, citizens are treated like this, 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 and we weren't treated like that. I don't buy that. We are citizens. I know what happened then. But there was a Creator that was in the mix. And in the Constitution, it mentions those inalienable rights of life, liberty, and happiness. Inalienable rights. This is when the American Constitution was put, they recognized a power higher than us, saying that there is a power, the Creator, rights that can be taken away from no man. Because of what has happened, that has been in the past, we can learn. We can grow from that. And one big thing that we could do is to start seeing ourselves as citizens and not as outsiders. If I invite you to my home and you got a room, you know, you over there by the closet and you're not made to feel comfortable, your thinking is not the same. You're not going to be able to grow. But if I bring you in my home and I make you feel comfortable at home, then you can kind of grow. We have to stop feeling as though we're not, that this is not our country. It is. It doesn't matter how they treated us. That's how they did it then. We don't have to let them do it now. We don't have to be like the elephant. You've been to the zoo, seen that big elephant tied up with some twine on a stick that's put in the ground that the circus organizers brought in twig, a stick in the dirt, and that elephant could pull down the pillars for the whole tent. But the elephant remembers when he was young and full of vigor, they had a chain link around him with an iron post and cement, and he couldn't pull away. He couldn't pull away. He tried, he'd bleed, but he couldn't pull away. Then when he gets older, you just put a string around him with a little tension. And as soon as he feels the tension, he feels, oh, I can't do it. I can't go away. Then I say, yes, you can. That's the only string. He said, no, I can't. I tried and I tried. Brother, I can tell you how I tried to get away because he's remembering long ago, and he couldn't do it. So then he psyched his own self out. So we can't psych ourselves out like that. We have to understand that this is our America too. And when we begin to do our part and see ourselves as citizens, and then when we do that, when there's eight of us in a room, you don't have to stand in that room and get mad at the world. Go out to the public parks. Who do they belong to? They belong to the citizens. The streets, they belong to the citizens. Well, that's your park. That's your sidewalk. And that's how we have to tell the children. This is your park. These national parks, they belong to us. We have to start filling the park and come together. And grow. And again, I say this is a blessed time because the knowledge is here, opportunities are here, and we have to take advantage. And knowledge is like a tool. See, they just give you knowledge. But knowledge is like a tool. If you don't know how to use the tool, then you can't get the intended result from that tool. If you gave me $40,000 worth of electrical equipment and tools, what am I going to do? I'm no electrician. I might sell them for $20,000, you know. But you give $40,000 of electrical equipment to an electrician, and he may be a millionaire in 3 years. So we have to know how to use the knowledge that we get to better our situation and not feel like bettering our situation is against America. No. That's what made America great, was the diversity. People coming to America to live their life. The Muslims should be just as comfortable here in America if you're looking at the Constitution. Other people came to live their life. So even if you're not Muslim, if you're African American, take ownership. This is your country just like it's their country. And freedom must be defended. Freedom is nothing that you get and then you got. You can walk through the park with your sandwich and let a dog that's real hungry come, and he might make you give up that sandwich, but you're free to walk in the park and eat. Yeah, but someone else, that dog is free to try to get the food that they want. So you have to protect your freedom as well. So I think that all of these things will help us in relieving the dependency and mental control. We have to understand and study that aspect. Some of us have had a dog. Some of us have dogs. And you see the dog, before he lay down, they kind of walk around in a circle. That's from the psychology in the natural world before they were domesticated. You know, during the winter months, when it starts getting cold, the leaves start falling off the tree. So the creator is looking out for the animals to give them warmth. So they would rack up the leaves and walk around on the leaves and plant it and press them down and lay down. That's in his psyche. He's long been domesticated. And if I ask you what time was sunrise or what time is sunset, that would be perfectly normal. You don't see nothing wrong with that. But we learned a long time ago, the sun doesn't rise and the sun doesn't set. It's the earth that's arrogant man. But it's the earth that rotates around the sun. So you see, it takes a long time to remove psychological things. So the descendants of ex-slaves have to understand that this was hundreds of years of psychology. And then with Willie Lynch saying you're nothing, train them to trust no one but the slave master. Pit them against each other, the dark one against the light one, the woman against the girl, the boy against the male against the female, the slave in the hillside against the slave in the valley. Just any way you can separate them and to trust no one. That's psychology. We work on the physical freedom, but we haven't looked at the psychological. And don't tell me that it's not there, because you look at some of these heirs that have been captured and gone crazy. I'm thinking of the Symbolese Army and the Hearst girl. Or military, war. You've been captured for a couple of years. They say you could have been brainwashed. They have to work on you. Could have been brainwashed in a few years. What do you think happened in 400 years? So we can't just say, oh, that didn't mean nothing. That's part and parcel of the reason we act now. But the knowledge is here. We have good leadership here. We have the creator really here, kind of putting things in order. So we will believe in the slave master. I'll tell you one other thing. What's going on, to help you see what's going on today from the same thing. The slave was oppressed. What we know about the oppressive end of slavery, white supremacy. Well, now we're looking at the other end of slavery and white supremacy. See, we know the oppressed being held down, et cetera, et cetera. But on the other end, the oppressor thinks that they're the God. The oppressor, because now he has his whole people worshiping them, looking to them. That goes to your head. Then you go around the world telling people around the world what they can do. Why? Because you have this God complex, which is the other side of white supremacy. We know the other side, one side, but now that's what you're looking at. So now you have this arrogance going up against the creator who is real. We say God is real, but we have to understand it's really real. And this is the time. And when I read my Bible, everything that in it that says Jesus will return, those things have happened. So let us just say that the creator has come back to earth to make things right. Then you have arrogant man that thinks he's God, challenging. Look at these natural events that have been happening. That's the creator waking us up, that there is a creator who created this all, and they reign king, not us. And that's what we have to recognize. And look, this is a new day. This is a new time clock. No one nation can run the world like they used to. It's too small now. Things that happen on the other side of the world, you can see it on YouTube, Facebook, just like that. So there's no hiding anymore. So the time of right has come for those that thought that it may not have been true or real, but this is what we have going on now. So truth is settling itself. So we have to recognize other people have desires for their children just like we have desires for our children and people for their country. We have to learn how to get along. So now that we know this, the slave master, he's also being chastised now. So now it's time for all of us Americans, especially the young African Americans who have been hurt the most, taken the furthest away from the human development because of the years of slavery and Jim Crow and all of that before. But now it's time for us to wake up. And lastly, I'll say, for the African American and descendants of ex-slaves, we have to do it as a group. You see, we don't even want to be in a group. I'm not black. I got Indian in me. No, I got French. Nobody wants to be, but we have to do it as a group and be proud of ourselves and love ourselves, because we can't do it as individuals. And this is how I know. Today, 2017, and in the last 5 years, the descendants of ex-slaves have millions of dollars. The descendants of ex-slaves are now worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You know the entertainers and all. Even billions of dollars. We look at Johnson, who sold BET for $1 billion. You don't sell something for $1 billion and start losing money. You're always making money. Look at Oprah and Cosby, all these billions. Even one that fit the category that was president of the United States. But what did you have? Because not an individual ideas and all. You just had a president. And who's that next door? Oh, that's just a with $100 million. He's just up with $10 million. Still the same, because we're not doing it as a group. They put us down as a group. The only way up is as a group. They didn't put us down as individuals. They put us up. I mean, they put us down as a group, and our only way up is as a group. And understand that other people of outside of our ethnicity, they don't all hate us. Some of that is just us feeling about ourselves. So we have to work with our brothers and sisters. The Creator is here, and this is for all humankind. We are one family, the human family. There's no up and down. Imagine yourself on a boat. And then I know I said I was going to stop, but this is it. We're all on a boat out on sea, a big yacht. And then we got a class of people that's downstairs in the bottom of the boat and those up on the boat. So one of the representatives come up on the boat, come up to the top and ask the people up top, could we please get some water? We don't even have water down there. They said, no, can't have no water, go on back down. So he says, okay. And on his way down, he says, okay. And when the thirst gets unbearable, since we're closer to the water, we just going to put a hole in the bottom of the boat and get our own water. All right. Now, what would happen if that was allowed to happen? The whole ship goes down. So we're all in this boat together. Let us do what we can do to bring ourselves up, and that will even bring America up. Aleem, I don't want to talk too much.
Hey, brother, I want to let you know, man, I'm taking notes, brother. You have a very profound overview and an insight that is very much, well thought out, and certainly I'm learning a lot. Now, please, this is the time to just lay it out, brother, because what you're saying, I know there's more to be said. But if you don't want to speak anymore, then certainly I will just talk some, and then perhaps next time you can come back and interview again. But I know you got more inside there, brother.
Okay, well, let me just say this part. Human life and growth, this is what the Creator wants for us. Each one of us, none of us created our own self. And we represent one family. If I, from African descent, went to China and got sick when I was in China or Japan, and they had to rush me to the hospital, they wouldn't ask for an African-American body chart or American body chart. It's the same body. We're one family. And the Creator has put the human creature, the mortal being, on this earth for a purpose. And those of you that are religious-based, you can look at your scripture and you see the purpose that the Creator has put us here. So our soul will never be pleased unless we do or until we do what we were created to do. And to the Christian, Jesus the Christ is an example. To our Jewish friends, Moses, Musa in the Arabic text, and Esau for Jesus in the Arabic text, is given to us as examples. And until we do this, our soul will not be pleased. So many of us just feel bad or just confused and just gnawed at. It's the spirit of our potential. We're not doing what we are supposed to be doing. Our soul has been put in us. In them 9 months or so that we're gestating, then the Creator is putting things in us. They're things that we're supposed to do. One of the things that he wants is for us to care about each other and to value each other. And we make progress by building upon that was good for human life that others left. And this goes back to the descendants of ex-slaves that were told to forget their past. This is another a law for learning. We learn from the past, the knowledge passed down, the knowledge that was good that the parents left, passing down the wisdom and the good advice and the good nature passed down. Well, you have kids, the youngsters today, you have to listen to your parents or read the scripture, read knowledge, but that's how it went. And once you start, you cut that off, then you don't go forward. You start reverting. You start going backwards because we're not passing down the knowledge. And now with Google and Siri and the young kids going, hey, who do they listen to? So we're starting to go backwards. We have to progress. We must progress. We must look at ourselves as responsible creatures, and we're not here just to satisfy ourselves, but we're here to do a job. And when we don't, then our soul will be burdened, and then our soul will gnaw at us and bother us because we're not doing what our Creator has said. And then it'll start doing all kind of things to you to make you do the right thing. It'll show you the right thing. And when you shut it up enough, then it'll just be quiet. And then you start doing wrong and all with no conscience at all. But we will have to answer for all of the things we do. And people say, what do you mean? Are you talking about coming back from the dead? You know, well, what are you talking about answer? People don't believe in that. But this is what I say in my travels, what was brought to me. Look at the dead earth, either in the desert or it could be a plant that you had at your house and you hadn't watered it for months and just dead, and you put water on it. And then when you put water on that dead earth, life comes out of that earth. So even if our souls have been dead to the Creator, just the right knowledge and revelation will bring you back, because words are food for the mind, like fruits and vegetables, lettuce and tomatoes are food for the body, then words are food for the mind. And just like you have junk food, and organic food, and sweet and no good food, same thing with words. So we have to start thinking about our life, learning from our past, and follow that inner being if you haven't killed it. And then just start doing the best that we can do as Americans, especially as African Americans, listen to people and start studying the past. Get a group so we can study. And I told you how to study. See those, the different things that may have happened that stop us from establishing ourselves. And once we do that, the government won't have to spend so much on us. This is good for America. This is not bad for America. There was a John Brown down back then, and there's John Brown's today. So I don't know. I don't have a clock to see what time it is, but if you had any questions and all, I don't mind answering.
Yeah, good brother. Your presentation is quite full right now. I'm really looking in my mind in terms of questions. I can pull up one here now. My thought is this. Young people that are like going to jail and kind of like in a rage right now against authority, really. You know, you find young people today very kind of really disrespectful to the law that really is there to protect us. And certainly some of the enforcers, police, have been kind of, you know, out of place as well. But what do you say to young people who are kind of like angered on that level and end up causing major catastrophes from their anger? What do you have to say on that?
I think, you know, without study, off the cuff, I think the anger is really misplaced, because a lot of them are very intelligent. They're smart, but they don't feel appreciated, or because of their education, they can't express themselves. So they're angry at the society. That's why I had mentioned understanding our citizenship to be a part. See, there's some place where they don't feel welcome. They don't want to be here, so they don't like America because everything is bad. They look at it as bad, so they want to hurt. So my thinking is, if they begin to see what your citizenship, you know, as citizens, you're offered a share in America, you know, then we have to see, and that's the thing, then we have to start establishing. But we still have that slave mentality where we want somebody to do something for us. And then it's not happening, so we get mad and we fight. But we don't have to break the law to do what we want. And this is the other thing I'll say generally. That we're looking for because they're hurt, because they're not getting what it is they want. But I'll say this. What you're looking for is already inside of you. What we're looking for is inside of us like a seed. If you take a seed and you put a seed on the table, nothing will happen. But if you take that same seed and put it in the right environment, then the essence of the life in the seed comes out. But the life is in the seed. It just needs the right environment. We, as people that are better off, need to help those that are not as well off to create the right environment so the good life can come out of them. And they have been put in a foreign environment. You know, you can go to a ball game at night. And you can see it, it looks like grass, but it's artificial turf. You can see that little ball from 500 feet away because of the light, but it's artificial light. So just like I said, words are food for the mind, like lettuce and tomatoes food for the body. If they bring in garbage, bring in destructiveness, then that's what they're creating in themselves. Watch the words that go into your mind and feel a part. Get with a group, we'll be the group, and start making America what we want it to be. Get rid of that slave mentality and dependent mentality, and you're mad. And I tell you something, 95% of the people in this that I asked about the African American, about the didn't that I talked to that didn't like Barack Obama as president, 95% of the people, no, I think 100%. Do you know what the first statement was? What he didn't do for us. What he didn't do for us. And then he showed what he did for other people. I said, no, he didn't do that for other people. Other people stood up. Other people demanded their rights as citizens of this United States. We never did that. We're the ones making ourselves non-citizens. So that's what I say. We have to create the environment. What these young brothers are looking for is the right environment so that that life inside can grow, and they're looking in the wrong place. And then they're not learning from the past. You know, when you say one thing and then you wind up getting up off the ground with a beat-up jaw going to jail, then your sensitivity should be sharpened. You should learn something from that and not do that again. And that's what we're missing. We have to create the environment for that life to come out. That what we're looking for is not outside of us. That's why we haven't found it. We're all going all around. It's really inside. But we need the right environment in order for that life to come out. Artificial stuff go in, you get an artificial life coming out.
You know,
I think I've said.
Yeah, I want to say to you, we had like maybe 2 weeks ago, conversation with the Representative Johnny Ford, who actually is running for a state of Alabama represent position again, which he had before, and he was actually the first African-American black mayor of Tuskegee, the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so he actually discussed the idea around gentrification, in which we need to address in terms of the environment that you talked about. So
yes.
We actually on this discussion with action and mobilizing people. So at some point, I'm going to ask you to chime into that group that's actually moving on words, not just sitting back and theorizing, right? So you were like right on time, brother. So I really want to appreciate you, and I want to make a commercial now to the world as we prepare to go. So it's like about 6:53. So it's about we have like 7 minutes. So anything that you can make final comments or goodbyes, and then I'll just kind of wind down the show myself. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, no. All I'll do is I'll let you have it, and I'll just close out with this, and then the religious people can really accept this. But the words that we get from our Creator, like these laws that I was speaking that are in creation, that did nature tells mankind. When those words come into our physical body, then it has the same effect on our possibilities for our life that the sun has on the dead earth for the possibilities of life in that earth. Because, you know, to grow, it needs water, it needs sun. So the same possibilities for growth on this earth from the sun is the same thing that works for us when we get the true words of the Creator, when it goes into our material body. So the essence of the life is in the seed. We need to correct the environment and take more responsibility in our communities and in our neighborhoods. Because now, even though we have a lot of money and we all that, when you look at it, we have no more responsibility in our neighborhood than we did on the plantation. We could sleep on the plantation, have fun on the plantation, get with our wives on the plantation, and that's about the extent of our responsibility. So let's pick up and be more responsible for ourselves and know that the seed, the life, is on the inside. I'm going to go on mute now and listen to you close out the show. And thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity to share some things with you.
Oh, brother, alhamdulillah, thank you so much for the insight. I really appreciate it. So listen, this is Haleem the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. We just had an interview with Imam Victor Shakir out of Oakland, California, and Life Success Radio is very proud of this interview. And I want to say our sponsor for Life Success Radio is Reality Books, published by the great-grandson, well, excuse me, Reality Books is our sponsor, and Reality Books actually has published a book called Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. Now, the owner, founder, CEO of Reality Books is the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, and I want to say that book is really a book of historical relevance and future value in terms of work plans that will bring America, make America as a collective work as it's supposed to work. And I want to say that the purchase of the book will help in terms of some of the things that we're doing here with young people with Life Success Radio effort. And so in any event, I was just extending that to you to be aware. So as we wind down to our last few minutes here, actually 4 minutes, I want to say to you, there's a song that I had written a while back when I first became a Muslim and also in the process when I was a police officer. And I had forgotten I'd written this song, but my daughter, she reminded me of this song one day when she was at home coming from San Diego. She actually came home and was preparing for a physician assistant's test at Stanford. And she started singing the song, and then I remembered the song I wrote. She said, "Daddy, I remember the song you wrote." So I'm going to say that song to you. I'm not going to sing it, but I want to say it to you because it's a very song or a poet that really means a lot. So here it goes. I tried to be a star, but I didn't get very far. I pretended to be a saint, but my friends told me, "Man, you ain't." After years of struggle and taking double, I finally came to realize I needed something more. Turned to heaven, I prayed, the Creator opened up the door. The first thing he did was to make me strong, and now I know that I belong on earth so I can give a little more. That's why he opened up the door. It's peace on us if we believe that all together we can achieve. He made the earth, he made the sun, he made us all to grow as one. We got to save our children, so tell the truth. Take your time to train your mind to see the sign that our Creator is one. Tell the truth, our Creator is one. So Life Success Radio is signing off here, and again, we thank you for this opportunity. Look forward to future engagements. And in the Arabic departure of God's peace and blessings to you, we say, As-salamu alaykum.
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006.
Good evening, and this is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of the Honorable Booker T. Washington, the author of the book Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. We'd like to share some of our book with you this evening. In order to fully understand and appreciate the Black Revolutionary philosophy of the Honorable Dr. Booker T. Washington, it is necessary to review the degree of spiritual impoverishment that had come with the African-American slaves' relegation to the status of nearly inhuman chattel property. This spiritual impoverishment was the product of the cruelty and hopelessness that was endured by the black slaves, along with the wretched physical circumstances of their lives. The great abolitionist Frederick Douglass noted that, quote, the men and the women slaves on his slave master, Colonel Lloyd's farm, received as their monthly allowance of food 8 pounds of pickled pork or its equivalent in fish. The pork was often tainted, spoiled, and wormy, and the fish were of the poorest quality. With their meat or fish, they had given them one bushel of Indian meal, unbolted, of which quite 15% was more fit for pigs than for men. With this, 1 pint of salt was given, 1 pint of salt. And this was the entire monthly allowance of a full-grown slave working constantly in the open field from morning till night every day in the month except Sunday. There is no kind of work which really requires a better supply of food to prevent physical exhaustion than the field work of a slave. The yearly allowance of clothing was not more ample than the supply of food. It consisted of 2-toe linen shirts, like burlap bag material, and 1 pair of trousers of the same coarse material for summer, and a pair of trousers and a woolen pair of trousers and a woolen jacket for winter, with 1 pair of yarn stockings and a pair of the coarsest description. Children under 10 years old had neither shoes, stockings, jackets, nor trousers. They had 2 coarse towel linen, like burlap bag material, shirts, and when these were worn out, they went naked till the next allowance day. And this was the condition of the little girls as well as the boys. As to beds, they had none. 1 coarse blanket was given to them, and this only to the men and women. The children stuck themselves in holes and corners about the quarters, and often in the corners of huge chimneys, and put their feet in the ashes to keep them warm. Unquote. That's from Frederick Douglass' memoirs. When ambitious 25-year-old Booker T. Washington arrived in Macon County, Alabama, in the spring of 1881, he was fresh from a teaching position at Coastal Virginia's Hampton Institute. He had prepared himself to come to Alabama to teach. However, he knew absolutely nothing about the depths to which the former slaves had been degraded by their white masters. Little did he expect to be the black revolutionary that God had sent them, to completely change or revolutionize their lives. In his signature work, Up From Slavery, Booker T. Washington candidly confesses, "What I saw during my month of travel and investigation upon his arrival in Tuskegee, Alabama, in the spring of 1881, left me with a very heavy heart. The work to be done in order to lift these people up seemed almost beyond accomplishing. Of one thing, I felt more strongly convinced than ever, after spending this month in seeing the actual life of the colored people, and that was that in order to lift them up, something must be done more than merely to imitate New England education as it then existed." Unquote. It is interesting to note at this point that here is a young man quite new to the dangers inherent in being a black man in the hostile Deep South, who has one single focus in his mind, that is to revolutionize, to change completely the impoverished and degraded lives of his fellow African Americans. Unlike later black revolutionaries who sought to bring about these changes through political agitation or threats of mob violence, as in the Watts riots that occurred 50 years after his death, Booker T. Washington was determined to use industriousness, education, and community development or nation building as the vehicle to lift the ex-slaves up as human beings and citizens of the United States of America. As stated, however, the type of education that he proposed was not the kind that was used to educate the already settled European Americans. Dr. Washington knew that teaching sharecroppers and tenant farmers how to read and write Greek and Latin, or recite the romantic poetry of Wordsworth, Keats, Byron, and Shelley, was not the most advantageous road to economic and cultural advancement for the newly emancipated slaves. Another black revolutionary, Professor W.E.B. Du Bois, a product of a New England Harvard education, opposed Booker T. Washington's method of uplifting the recently emancipated African Americans who lived in the Deep South. Although he had lived in urban Nashville, Tennessee, and Atlanta, Georgia, Dr. Du Bois's appreciation for the day-to-day struggles of black and brown people lacked the depth of understanding that growing up on a Virginia slave plantation had given Booker T. Washington in his early life. Dr. Du Bois admitted that the prudent method of bringing about the cooperation of the European Americans and uplifting the African Americans was to weld the former slaves to the future industries of the South. Although he praised the accomplishments of the common schools and the trade schools, such as the Tuskegee Institute, headed by Booker T. Washington, Professor Du Bois firmly believed that it was the classical college education that would be the best vehicle to advance the masses of African Americans through the agency of the talented 10th. A few specially selected college-trained African Americans. W.E.B. Du Bois's thinking was that, quote, within the minds of African Americans there must come a loftier respect for the human soul that seeks to know itself and the world around it, that seeks a freedom for self-expansion and self-development. In achieving this ambitious goal of uplifting our people intellectually and culturally, W.E.B. Du Bois called upon classical intellectuals such as Aristotle, Balzac, Dumas, Aristotle, and Aurelius as beacons for African-American enlightenment. As a product of an excellent classical education myself from the University of California at Berkeley, Tuskegee University, Norwich University, Denver University, Augusta University, Northwest Missouri State University, and Alabama A&M Universities, I totally concur with Dr. Du Bois concerning the value of such learning and intellectual development. At the same time, however, I also concur with another black revolutionary, the Honorable Elijah X. Poole Muhammad. Messenger Muhammad, as he was respectfully called, advocated that African Americans or black people should get an education which will benefit their own people, and not an education adding to the storehouse of their teacher. We need education, he said, but an education which removes us from the shackles of slavery and servitude. Get an education, but not an education which leaves us in an inferior position and without a future. Get an education, but not an education that leaves us looking to the slave masters for a job, unquote. The founder of what has become nationally celebrated Black History Month, Dr. Carter G. Woodson, declared in his blistering critique the miseducation of the Negro that highly educated Negroes who advocate for a sort of education different only in some respects from that now given the white man, Negroes who have been so long inconvenienced and denied opportunities for development, are naturally afraid of anything that sounds like discrimination. They are anxious to have everything the white man has, even if it is harmful. The so-called modern education, with all its defects, however, does others so much more good than it does the Negro, because it has been worked out in conformity to the needs of those who have enslaved and oppressed weaker people. In the book Education in Alabama, Dr. Horace Mann Bond observed that the ongoing agenda of the Negro's former slave masters was clearly stated by post-emancipation white leaders, who said, quote, the Negro is considered hopelessly helpless by his want of self-reliance, by his want of experience, and is one of the ability to understand and appreciate his situation. And the former slave owners believe that the white man must secure the services of the Negroes and teach them their place, and convince African Americans that their best friends were the people who had raped, robbed, enslaved, and dehumanized them for 300 years without mercy or compassion. Within a writing 75 years after the end of slavery, Dr. Horace Mann Bond protested, quote, "It is clear that the former slave owners never intended to accept the freedom of Negroes without the reservation that members of the race should continue to be wards and under the tutelage of the class which had owned them before the war. Thus, the concept envisioned by Booker T. Washington that African Americans should be educated to come into their own, independent of the inferiority conferring miseducation of their former slave masters, was truly revolutionary." And a quote from the Holy Bible from Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 10. "Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand." And that is the end of the chapter. The end of the chapter, which is entitled "The Introduction to the Book Booker T." And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs.
plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006.
This ends another broadcast of Booker T. Washington Speaks, preceded by Life Success Radio with Dr. Haleem Mustafa, both of which are produced and directed by Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, and sponsored by his company Reality Books, which produces Booker T. Washington, publishes Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. We invite you to join us every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to listen to very, very uplifting messages from the guests, Dr. Haleem Mustafa on Life Success Radio, followed by the voice and the vision of Booker T. Washington on Booker T. Washington Speaks. We also invite you to join us on Saturday evening at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central, and 5 o'clock Pacific time for Booker T. Washington Speaks African American Family Room Forum, a discussion forum in which everyone that calls in is invited to participate. You may even bring topics that you would like to talk about on this 2-hour broadcast on Saturday evening. So thank you for listening. We hope that you'll enjoy a wonderful rest of the week. Until then, we say to all of you, peace and may God bless you.